Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
All right, everybody. So, some of you may have noticed we have a very special guest here tonight, all the way from Grand Rapids, North Point Bible College. Carl Hayes has come not only to share what God has laid on his heart for you, but he has brought some gifts. He's brought some goodies. See, you guys like free stuff. Yeah, that's lame. You guys like free stuff.
Come on, guys.
You got to be louder than that. You got to be a lot louder than that. Because Carl brought, he brought bags, he brought t-shirts, he brought all kinds of crazy awesome stuff. So my question is, why are you sitting? Because if you want free stuff, you should be standing. You should be wanting it, because we're going to throw these at the people who are absolutely the loudest. All right, well, I have one bag left. One bag left for the loudest screecher in here. Kelsey, man, there is no way anybody was louder than that. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Well, make sure that before the night is over, you visit the Northwood table, or I'm sorry, North Point table in the back. Make sure to tell Carl how much you appreciate him. Tell him how cool his name is, because it's the coolest name ever. I'm just saying. I'm a little biased, but it's the coolest name ever. Now, Carl, he'll share a little bit of his heart with you, but he works over at North Point Bible College. Some of you go there. Some of you have heard of it. Some of you are going, how in the world does a Bible college tie into a Live Dead series? Bible colleges are what train people to step into the callings that God has placed on their life. So this totally ties in to a missions-themed month. This totally ties into a greater calling, greater purpose, because they are hands-on equipping students to step into their callings and to impact this world, to turn it upside down, just like the disciples did in the book of Acts, to be true world changers. I believe in the school. They have an amazing, amazing program. Make sure you check out this table, and I want you to listen to Carl the exact same way you would me. Those of you who are listening to the Bible, taking notes, I want you taking notes because he's got a lot to say. The back rows, I'm going to ask you guys to move up because you do not want to miss a word he has to say. And I want you guys to give Carl the loudest welcome you have ever given a guest speaker.
Yeah. That's some good stuff right there. Now, that's some loving, if I've ever heard it. That's some loving right there. Hey, I know you guys know this, but Pastor Carl and Mandy, there's just some top-notch dudes, and I think you should give it up for them. Just some top-notch. Mandy, where's Mandy at? Where's Mandy at? She was doing the prayer in the beginning. I think I got saved three times while she was praying. Just amazing. Thank you so much for that. It was really anointed. It was really good. I'm excited to be here. This is really cool. I actually get to do this. Try to go out every Wednesday throughout and preach at different youth groups, talk about North Point and meet people. And this is kind of what I do. I enjoy it. I'm a director of recruitment and student pastoral care at North Point Bible College. Just a great place to be, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But is it okay if I just share kind of a story with you? I had a dream the other day. And how many of you are like UFC? You're into like MMA fighting, the UFC? Not very many, right? Right? Yeah, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. I don't know why. I just kind of dig it. It's kind of... It's, I don't know if I should or not, you know, I don't know if I should like it because it can be kind of brutal, but I enjoy it. I've got a 20-year-old son and a 15-year-old son, and I got to learn those moves because they're like beating me up now, you know, so I got to learn that stuff. But I had this dream. I guess I watched too many videos or something, and I was having this dream. Anybody ever had a dream where like you like make a motion in your sleep that's actually happening in a dream and it wakes you up? Like you're playing center field for the Tigers and you go like this to catch the ball and you actually wake up going like this. I mean, you ever done something like that? Well, this kind of happened to me. Okay. So I'm a UFC fighter. I'm up there in the cage. I'm all getting ready. You know, I'm getting into my stance. I'm jumping around, getting ready. The lights are going crazy. The music's going really crazy. And if you're the underdog in a show, in a competition like that, the main dude kind of like comes out, and they make a really big deal out of him as they come out, you know. So I'm just kind of ignoring the main fighter, just not really paying attention, just kind of staying in my zone, getting ready. And, you know, the music's, the lights go down, the music goes up, goes crazy, and in comes the main event guy, you know. And I can't tell who it is. I got my glasses off. I don't care, really. I'm just kind of in the zone. And the guy gets closer, jumps in the ring, you know, and I'm getting ready, and I kind of look up to see who it is, and it's Pastor Carl. It's like, he's there, and I'm thinking to myself, I can't. This is my friend. I don't want to do this, you know. Plus, he's going to beat the tar out of me. I just don't want to. I don't want to go there. So I, here it goes. The referee gets ready. They get ready to ding the bell, and they go to ding to the bell, and it's my alarm clock, and it wakes me up. Yeah, I don't even know what happened, and it's probably a good thing. So I have no idea what happened after that, but. So yeah, man, you looked good with it. All the ink was showing. You're all like sweaty and. Yeah, you looked good, dude. So easy, Mandy. Easy, easy, easy. All right. So, yeah, my name's Carl. I have the distinguished honor to share a name with the most awesome youth pastor. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Like I said, I'm from North Point Bible College. I get to do a lot of really cool things. I wear a couple different hats. I get to be the student pastor for a dude like this right here. How many of you know Joe Bongard? Yeah, Joe Bongard. Who else we got? Tom Gazelle. Yeah. Yeah, and of course your brother. Oh, and Jordan Salisbury. Yeah. So yeah, you guys have sent us a ton, man. So I think you should just all come to North Point and join them. How's that sound? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. All right, I'm talking way too much. Let me get back on my notes. So here's what we got going. North Point is a fully accredited Bible college right in Grand Rapids, right down the road from here. It took me about an hour and 4 minutes to get here. We offer an associate's and bachelor's degree in ministerial leadership. And just an awesome place to be, man. When you're around a bunch of people that want to just fulfill their calling for Jesus, it's just a really cool place to be. But I want to tell you something that we got going on, something that's new we're doing. If you talk to any of our students, they'll tell you that if you feel called to ministry, whether that's pastoring, whether that's leading worship, or that's missions, they'll tell you that North Point is the place you want to be to get the skills and knowledge to fulfill that calling. So we're doing a great job with that, and our students will tell you we're doing a great job. But we're also doing a really good job with students that say, you know, I just want to connect with the hurting public. I just want to connect with the hurting, maybe through social work or counseling. We're doing a good job bringing those students in. They're getting their bachelor's degree going on and getting them plugged in with graduate programs throughout, you know, wherever. We're doing a great job with that. But, you know, the Bible says to go into all the world, not all the church, right? Go into all the world, not all the church. So who's on the front line? Your business people, your architects, your nurses, those that are in the public serving people. And so at North Point, we had to ask ourselves, what are we doing to equip those people? What are we doing? You know, we're busy with our raising up pastors, but what are we doing to the people that just want to, that want to be a nurse? You know, what are we doing to help them? So we started a new program. It's called the One-Year Equip Approach, and this is really cool. We just started it last year. If you're looking to go to college, you can come to North Point for 1 year, get your general education courses knocked out, and get mentored and discipled and have your vision and passion for what God has for you honed in and focused. So when you head out to fulfill that calling, you're sent out as a missionary on task for Jesus Christ. Does that sound good? Sound good? We had some people that did it last year. One of them is going to be a pre-med student. And we asked her, what was that experience like for you? You know, we didn't pay her, we didn't give her a discount on her tuition, we just simply said, tell us the truth. What was that experience like for her? And this is what she said. The one-year equip approach at NBCGR was a tool used by God to show me where to grow. It set impossible high standards for my next college to meet. I do not regret for one second that I went to NBCGR. I grew, I laughed, I cried, I learned. NBCGR kindled my passion for loving and learning and growing. Now, all that happened while taking general education courses, while preparing to fulfill her call in the pre-med. So I want to encourage you, if you're thinking about college, to consider giving 1 year to North Point. I promise you, you will be a different person, more on task, more ready to fulfill what God has called you to do, and you'll still graduate your program in 4 years. That's a win. No matter how you look at it, that's a win. So I encourage you, come back and talk to me. I'd love to hear what you're passionate about and maybe answer some questions about the school. Cool? All right. Everybody, who got a T-shirt? Everybody get a T-shirt? Well, not everybody. I know that because I didn't bring that many. But you got your T-shirts. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, I do have a message for you. We are going to talk about Jesus. Is that good? Is that okay with you if we talk about Jesus? Cool. All right. My message is entitled, do we have it up there? Should I send or should I go? Should I send or should I go? And it's in the form of a question on purpose because I want you to think. I want you to think, because a lot of times when we see a question like that, we automatically start formulating ideas in our head and start answering that question in our minds. So what comes to your mind when you think of, should I send or should I go? Don't answer it out loud. But here's what I hope to accomplish. By the time we're done here, here's what I hope to accomplish. Whether you feel called to ministry or whether you feel called to the marketplace or what I said earlier, into the front lines, whether you feel called into the ministry or into the front lines, you have a high calling. You hear what I'm saying? You have a high calling. God has placed you on this planet to make a kingdom impact in this world. We're going to be focusing on a verse in the book of Mark, chapter 16. And to kind of give you a little bit of background, a little bit of context about this verse. 3 days prior to this, Jesus was crucified, brutally murdered, thrown into the tomb, and they pulled the stone in front, okay? 3 days go by. Mary Magdalene and a couple of the others, they show up to the tomb. The tomb's rolled away. The stone's rolled away, and Jesus is gone. His body is gone. He had risen from the grave. An angel appears to Mary Magdalene and tells her that Jesus has risen. Go and tell the disciples. So she runs, goes to tell the disciples. Of course, they didn't believe her. They thought she was crazy, thought she was hallucinating, thought she was having a dream or whatever. And then when this verse comes up, Jesus appears to the disciples. And he's a little miffed at them. You know, they're probably sitting around cooking up some s'mores, having some hot dogs or something. Who knows? I don't know what they're doing. I just said that. But Jesus is a little miffed at them because of their unbelief and their lack of faith in believing what Mary had told them. And Jesus gives them a command at this point. And if you've been around the church for any amount of time, there's no doubt you've heard this command. And we're going to look at that verse in just a minute. But sometimes I think there's a little bit of confusion in how this applies to the church. We formulate an idea of what Jesus is saying here, but we sometimes don't understand exactly how it applies to the church as a whole. So let's take a look at this verse together. It's found in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. It says this, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." What we're seeing here is Jesus is giving a command to go. And what I want to do is I want to dig a little deeper into this, and we're going to dissect this verse a little bit. And I want to answer three very important questions that apply to all of us. The first question is this: who should go? First question, hit it again. Who should go? Question number two: where should they go? And question number three: what should they do once they get there? Who should go? Where should they go? And what should they do once they get there? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. You're such a good God. You're so good to your children. We love you.
God, I thank you for what this opportunity, Lord, to speak to these young people, Lord. Father, would you use me in spite of my sin, in spite of my hang-ups, Father, in spite of my lack of skill, God, would you still speak through me? Lord, and I pray that you would bless these students, that you would open their hearts and their minds today to what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, so number one, who should go? Who should go? Don't answer the question out loud, but just in your mind, what do you think? Do you think missionaries? Do you think pastors? Do you think worship leaders or that really spiritual person in the church? They're the ones that should go. Is that what you think? And before you answer that question, I want to talk to you real quick about elephants and rabbits. Yeah, I saw that look. Like, what in the world? He just threw me. Where's he going with this? Trust me. You're gonna understand where I'm going very quickly with this. It makes a really good point. It illustrates something really cool. Elephants and rabbits are alike in a few ways. They're both vegetarians. They're both have ravenous appetites, and they're both mammals. They also have pretty large ears proportionally. You know, they're also quite different. Rabbits are soft, cuddly, nice to hold. Elephants, on the other hand, are kind of rough, quite not very cuddly, and a little bit too large to cuddle in your lap. Now, let's pretend just for a moment that I'm giving you 1 million acres of land. 1 million acres is about 1,600 square miles. It would be equal roughly to the size of Ingham County, which, you know, that's the county you're in, right? Okay, yeah. It's all of Ingham County, all of Eaton County, which is to the west, and all of Clinton County to the north. So it's like a triangle. All three of those counties would be about 1 million acres. All that land in the middle would be about 1 million acres. On this land, the first 2 years, crops will grow, and farmers will come and harvest it. But on the third year, it needs to rest, and so all kinds of wild grass is going to grow. Here's your dilemma. At the end of the third year, you have 1 million acres of land that you have to clear the wild grass off of. With your, don't want to get lost here. With your 1 million acres of land, I offer you two things to clear the grass. You can either have two elephants, a male and a female, or two rabbits, a male and a female. Don't answer out loud. Think about it. Think about it just for a second. Before you make your decision, I'll tell you that rabbits eat about 1 pound of grass in 1 day. Meanwhile, a full-size elephant can eat 500 pounds of grass in 1 day. You've probably guessed that the answer of an elephant is incorrect. How many said elephant? Don't tell me. And you'd be right. If you've guessed that the elephant is the wrong answer, you'd be right. At the end of 3 years of breeding, you would only have one additional elephant. For a total of three elephants consuming 500 pounds of grass each day or 1,500 pounds of grass each day, that's a problem. The wild grass will grow throughout the whole season, so we'll estimate it weighing at about 1 pound per square foot. There's 43,560 square feet per acre. Each foot is 1 pound, so you have 43,560 pounds of grass per acre, but you have 1 million of them. So that equals 43,560,000,000 pounds of grass. Divide that by 1,500 pounds per day your three elephants can consume, and you'll have that field completely cleared off in just under 80,000 years. Yeah. Rabbits, on the other hand, they're another story. Rabbits have a gestation period of around 30 days and can actually deliver 12 litters of bunny per year. And these litters can have up to 10 bunnies each. Baby bunnies are then capable of having their own babies within 3 months of age. So, if we had one pair of bunnies, they should easily give birth to 6 bunnies each month for the first year. So for the first year, they will have 72 bunnies. But don't forget, after the third month, those first 3 pairs of bunnies will also start having bunnies. Each of those 3 will have 54 bunnies per year. Those born in the second month, once they begin, will have 48 and so forth. Taking into account that the third generation will also be having bunnies by the seventh month and the fourth generation by the tenth month, your bunny account for the end of the year should easily reach 1,200. So beginning the second year, you have 1,200 bunnies or 600 breeding pair. They will also each have 1,200 bunnies before the end of the year, giving you 720,000 bunnies. So beginning the third year, you have 720,000 bunnies or 360,000 breeding pair. They will also each have 1,200 bunnies before the end of the year, giving you a grand total of 432 million bunnies. Each of these bunnies can eat a pound of grass per day. One square foot. Remember, you need to clear 43,563,000,000 pounds of grass. What the elephants would take 80,000 years to do, the bunnies will have done in about 3 months. Is that pretty awesome or what? It takes a lot of air to do all that. Okay. When we think about the word go into all the world, we think of elephants. We think of pastors, we think of missionaries, we think of those in the church that have all the skill, and the pastor, he can do a lot, and he has a lot of gifts and charisma, and he's a good communicator, definitely an elephant for the Lord. And then there's Deacon so-and-so, definitely another elephant, but that's not at all how it's supposed to go. This really unbiblical way of looking at fulfilling the Great Commission does a few things. It wears out the elephants. At the rate they're going, it's going to take them 80,000 years to reap the harvest. No good, right? The second thing is it creates bitter elephants. They wonder why no one else is doing their share. And how many of you know you don't want to be around a bitter Pastor Carl? I mean, a bitter elephant, right? The third thing it does is it rips off the rabbits. They have a calling too, and the elephants are hogging all the glory. And the fourth thing is that work of the Great Commission just does not get done. It just doesn't happen. So whose job is it to go? Whose job is it to go? Let's look real quick at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Do I have that on there? Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, build up the church, the body of Christ. So whose job is it to go? Is it the pastor's job? Is it the missionary's job? Now, don't get me wrong. Don't hear what I'm saying. I don't think you could stop Pastor Carl and Mandy and some of your leaders from telling people about Jesus. I don't think you could stop them. But their primary role is to train you guys up into maturity so that you can do the ministry. Does that sound familiar? From what I'm reading and some of the things that I see, it sounds very familiar. God's ministry is not an elephant ministry with big thundering individuals who are God's, you know, men and women. God's ministry is a rabbit's ministry. Everyone has a gift. Everyone finds their calling. Everyone does their part. No one gets worn out. No one is bitter. Everyone is fulfilled, and the work gets done. So we see it in Ephesians. It's the job of the pastor to train up and raising individuals to grow into maturity and to be effective workers for Christ. That's just how God designed it. It's his ministry math. Sometimes we get it mixed up and we see, I drew these triangles here to kind of give you an example of what I'm trying to say. A lot of times we think that you have the 10% at the, you know, in the top of that triangle that are pastors and missionaries, and all the rest of us down in the 90%, we support them, we cheer them on, we send them money, we send them, and they go and do the Great Commission. But that's not how it works. It's the other way. The 10%, the pastors and missionaries, even missionaries go into foreign lands and they set up schools. They set up discipleship programs. They're training people to take the gospel into the further reaches of the world. And then And then the pastors, the preachers that they send, they're the equippers. And the 90%, the rest of us, we're the goers. We're sent. We're the ones that need to be equipped. That's how it works. So the answer to the question, who should go? It's all of us. We all have a responsibility to go. We all share. We all are supposed to share the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's one thing you get from this message, other than rabbits can reproduce really quickly, it's this, is that God knit you together in the womb, and he doesn't just have a plan for your life, but he has a plan for the kingdom, and it can't get done without you. It just can't get done without you. So question number two. So question number one, we asked, who should go? The question number two is this. Where should they go? Where should they go? Let's look at our text real quick here. Your part is the part in yellow. When I get that to that part, you say the part in yellow. Got it? He said to them, go into and preach the gospel to. Yeah. So all the world, all creation. What does that make you think? When you hear that, all the world, all creation, do you only think unreached people groups in Bangladesh and Africa and Iraq and those places like that? Is that where your mind goes? It does include those places. It does include those places, but all the world includes your high school, right? All the world includes the places that you hang out all the time. You know that our high schools are quickly becoming the largest area of unreached people groups in America? Think about that. We always talk about reaching unreached people groups, but they're right here in our high schools. They're right here. All creation includes the waitress or the waiter that waits at your table at your favorite restaurant, right? The barista at your favorite place to get coffee. The people you work with. They're all creation. Amen? There's a verse in the book of Acts, chapter 1, that I think illustrates this really good. And I don't think we're there yet. Oh, you ruined my surprise. Hopefully nobody was looking. Not yet. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is speaking. And this really illustrates how Jesus meant for the gospel to spread. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem. Notice locally. Jerusalem is local. In all Judea, it spreads out a little bit further. And Samaria and to the ends of the world. So actually, Jesus was talking about it starting locally. It started in Jerusalem. Then to Judea, then to Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. That's God's ministry math, even right there. How it spread. You know, a couple weeks ago, I sent Pastor Carl a message, and I just asked him a couple questions about vision and mission and what he's doing, what you guys are doing in the community of Lansing here. And I got to say, this is no lie. I'm reading his response through tears. You guys are phenomenal. You're feeding people. I read about feeding a homeless guy, and one of you gave his Bible to him? Dude, you guys are making it happen. You're hitting it out of the park. You're doing a phenomenal job. That's the stuff I'm talking about right there. Reaching the community, reaching your friends, reaching your high school for Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. You see, he can't do it. Him and Mandy can't do it by themselves. They need you. They need you. They're not elephants. They're here to train you. They're here to mentor you, to give you the tools you need to do ministry. If anything, he's a rabbit breeder. Now you can play it. If anything, he's a rabbit breeder, and you all are the rabbits. Yeah, you're like the rabbits from the rabbit breeder. Okay, you stole my thunder back there. Oh, well. You guys are doing the work of the ministry, and you're doing it. I'm reading about it. I'm seeing it on Facebook and some of the things you guys are doing, and I gotta give you applause. You give yourself applause. You guys are doing an awesome, awesome job. Good stuff. Keep it up. And I want to encourage you, if you're sitting in here and you're like not on board with that yet, dude, jump in both feet. Get on board, because that's what ministry is all about. That's what's reaching the public is all about, telling people about Jesus. Good stuff. Kingdom ministry and the true mission of the church is what happens outside of these walls. Because we can come in here and be safe and comfortable and minister to each other. But what really is happening, what's really Jesus wants to see, is what happens outside of here. It's what happens outside of here. Pastor Carl and Pastor Mandy cannot do it themselves. That's where you guys come in. They need your help. Question number three. What should they do when they get there? What should they do? Again, your part's in yellow. So we're going to go back to our scripture verse. He said unto them. And to all the world and to all creation. Did he just say preach? I don't know if I want to get up and preach. Preach. That sounds kind of scary. You know that the word preach there means to proclaim the gospel? Jesus did that with the woman at the well, just one-on-one. Just one-on-one. He told her about the Messiah coming and how he was the Messiah. One-on-one, preaching, proclaiming the gospel, same thing.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.